Hello and welcome back. My name's Luke and you're listening to another episode of the Next Stage Podcast. Femtech isn't a cute buzzword for tech companies led by women. It's a growing space within digital health, catering for women and people with cycles. Leading the charge in this space is Clue, a period tracking app with over 12 million users. It's the first and only app of its kind to receive FDA clearance for its medical-grade device features around all digital birth control. In this episode of the Next Stage Podcast, we hear from Audrey Tang and Carrie Walter, who will talk about the challenges and rewards of working on Clue, as well as the dynamics of managing a business as co-CEOs.
I'm wondering, as two women CEOs of a company and working in femtech, can you tell me what's the oddest thing that investors or anyone else has said to you that about your app that doesn't make sense to you?
There are so many good anecdotes to choose from. I mean, one that I can think of is we were explaining Clue is an app for female life stages all the way from menarche to menopause. And one of the life stages that we work on is pregnancy. And so there was this one investor who, you know, we'd been presenting to for probably 5 minutes before he kind of suddenly was like, but what about your period? And he didn't realize that you don't get your period while you're pregnant. And for me, that's just that speaks volumes about how hard it is to understand what the purpose and the core use case of a product is if you really don't have that life experience yourself. Yeah. I don't know. Do you have any favorite ones?
And I think for me, it like underlies the fact that, well, we, not just male investors, I think in general, there's less understanding about female health. I mean, even growing up, like, what do we learn about it? It's sometimes not much, sometimes a lot if you're lucky. And a lot of what we do at Clue, a big part of that, in addition to helping you be aware of your cycle and what's happening with your body, is actually learn about that experience, which may be different from person to person.
Mm-hmm. And can you talk a little bit about how Clue goes beyond other period or menstrual trackers or other simple like calendar devices? Like, what sets you all apart?
What sets us apart? So I think underlying it is like how we approach it. Mm-hmm. And we've been doing a lot to like boil down what are our values. And I think our core value that means a lot to us is this just one word, it's care. And how does that, as it shows up in the product that we put out to the world, how does that manifest itself? And I think it manifests itself in the trust that we work hard to earn, the level of quality that we want to ensure that we put out there, because it's dealing with your health and it's dealing with some of your most private and personal aspects of your life. So being careful, caring about that experience and caring about that experience with as much empathy and sensitivity as we can is one part of what sets us apart. But Carrie, do you want to talk about a little bit maybe more about the quality side of things?
Yeah, so for us, the big question or one of the big questions really is where does a female health app sit in the spectrum from sort of mass consumer fun stuff to medical device healthcare system? And you know, where we come down is this is incredibly sensitive data. These are really important insights for people's lives. Every reproductive life stage goes hand in hand, not just with potential problems and challenges, but with real identity shifts as well. Mm-hmm. And you know, why should that kind of app be less regulated than a children's toy? Why should that be the case? And of course, when you're based in Europe, you have the sort of data privacy side anyway, but we felt that we wanted to go further and actually start to put ourselves in a position where we can put out medical device grade features, and that's what we've now done. So we have FDA clearance for a birth control feature, and that is really for us the beginning of going down this pathway of differentiating ourselves and saying we are capable of giving you the kind of support that only a regulated product can. Yeah.
I love that both of you have talked about what a personal, or how important some of this personal information can be to different users. And I love that Clue is the kind of app that anyone who menstruates can use, so it doesn't exclude anyone who doesn't identify specifically as a woman. And I'm wondering if you can talk about how Clue can be used personally for people going through some of these different stages. Like, what would happen if a user does become pregnant, whether that's planned or unplanned?
Actually, this is one of our learnings, and as some of you might know, Clue started as a period tracker, and a period tracker means that you're tracking your period in addition to other symptoms that you might be experiencing, like pain, mood, sex drive, etc. And for, as Carrie mentioned, you know, the thing that is universal about the female health experience, or the experience of anyone with a cycle, is that it's a constant, it's one of constant change. Mm-hmm. And so let's say you go from trying not to get pregnant to trying to get pregnant, or maybe accidentally, whether you want it or not, as you mentioned, becoming pregnant. You can now, and this is one thing that we learned starting as a period tracker app, is that many people were like, well, you know, now that I'm pregnant, I use the app to get pregnant, now I'm pregnant, now what do I do? And for a long time, we didn't have an answer for that. But about a year ago, we launched our pregnancy feature, which allows you to switch between different modes, these different use cases that you might be going through. And that pregnancy feature not only shows the, not your cycle, but your 9-month pregnancy. It also gives you content, educational materials, as well as allows you to track your experience throughout that different type of health experience.
And I think that's so important. I mean, I know whenever I have any kind of health problem, no matter what it's related to, in that acute moment, I think, oh, I should probably go to the doctor for this. But then it like goes away and I might forget about it. And I think it's probably really impactful for users to see their data back at them, like seeing, oh, gee, I had a terrible mood swing at this point, or, oh, my cramps were totally unmanageable. And hey, wait a minute, that's happened 3 months in a row. Perhaps I'm not using the right birth control for my body. Right? And perhaps that's a conversation I need to have with my healthcare provider about, and then say, you know, no, I have these are the dates when I was, you know, specifically feeling low. And unfortunately, I think it is an experience in the healthcare system, hopefully not with all physicians, but, you know, to go to a provider and say, I experienced pain, and as a female identifying person, sometimes that pain is dismissed, or sometimes those symptoms are overlooked and not accepted as very serious. Could you talk a little bit about how, so you mentioned having a pregnancy planner as part of your next phase of growth. How else are you planning to expand in women's health tech or fem tech moving forward?
So as Carrie mentioned, like our vision is to actually be the companion for people with cycles from their first period to their last period. And what are you going through as you span that 40, 50 something year span, you're experiencing everything from not knowing what's going on to potentially, well, I want to avoid getting pregnant, or I just want to understand what's going on in my body better. So as you mentioned, you can manage pain, you can manage any kind of conditions, you can become aware of any changes in your body. One of the things that we really wanted to focus on, and it's been quite an investment for us, is this long period of time where many women want to avoid pregnancy. And so we started as a period tracking app, we added pregnancy, and now we are actually slowly beginning to roll out the first and only FDA cleared all digital birth control. And so we want to be there, starting with the insight of the first day of your period. How can you use that insight, and how can you use that log of basically what's happening in your body to now take control of your reproductive health?
That's super exciting. as you, so with any product that FDA clears or any medical, any drug that FDA approves or authorizes, there's always this after it's available stage of continuing to gather data. Can you talk a little bit about how Clue plans to use some of the data that it collects from its users and how you plan to keep monitoring how well this birth control function is working?
So post-market surveillance,
yes,
is obviously part of the regulatory framework. And I think this sort of goes back to this question of why create a fertility awareness-based birth control solution. It's because we know that a lot of people are using period trackers to kind of DIY it, and that is incredibly dangerous. They do not know what risk they are taking. And our feature that we're slowly launching as we speak is based on a clinical trial that, you know, has efficacy rates attached to it, which we obviously publish. And so, of course, part of having the product on the market is the regulatory obligation to see how it's performing. And in addition, compared to other medical devices that go out there and nobody really knows what happens, or you have to sort of go and find the users, we can speak to the users directly in app. And so we'll be, you know, asking them all kinds of questions to figure out which user populations really do best on this feature, and, you know, why they continue, why they discontinue, and also to figure out why the unintended pregnancies occur when they occur, which of course they will, because no birth control method is 100% effective. But ours is very effective. It's 92% with typical use and 97% with perfect use. Mm-hmm.
So as part of your FDA clearance, you sort of reoriented your company to structure it like a medical device company. And that obviously means that the two of you are now at the helm as co-CEOs. Can you talk a little bit about what the experience is like managing a company together when so many other companies in this space just have one person at the top?
Well, can you tell that Carrie's a lawyer by background from her very clear explanation of post-market surveillance? And my background is in product. And when we received FDA clearance, and we've been working on that for quite a while, and we've been working together for quite a while, it was actually a great time for us to think about, well, what should leadership look like for that kind of business? And I represent, on the whole, the product side, while Carrie represents, on the whole, the regulatory side. And bringing that together was really, it mirrors, I think, the cultural shift that we were doing inside the company as well, from everything from our processes or procedures, our team structures, and creating a dialogue, which is how we prefer to work, creating a dialogue about that so we can evolve that culture in a healthy way.
Yeah, I mean, I would even go so far, I don't know what you think about this, I would go so far as to say it's almost kind of science and humanities if you abstract even further up. I mean, you've got this sort of computer science, human-computer interaction background and product, of course, very iterative, very evidence-based way of thinking, whereas I have a more, you know, legal and therefore long-term, different kind of narrative style of thinking. And I think those two very different backgrounds combined with a similar level of engagement. I mean, you always have to ask yourself, like, what needs to be different, what needs to be the same, so that you actually like working together and you come to conclusions and you're able to move on. I would say, yeah, it's mostly just a lot more fun, but I also think our decisions are better.
Can I ask how that influences how you handle conflict? I think that's something that happens at every company, but the dynamics are different when you have like a power differential. How does it work if you disagree with something? How do you resolve that?
Between the two of us?
Yeah.
That's a great question. People are always asking us, but which of you makes the decisions? And I think that question like fundamentally baffled me, because it's like, well, we make the decisions together. Mm-hmm. And conflict, I mean, I think that might have some negative connotations, but conflict is good.
Yeah, I don't think it's a bad thing necessarily. Yeah. If you're solving it productively.
Yeah, so I mean, underlying it, I think, is respect, trust, a sincere curiosity about, hey, Carrie, what is your perspective on this? Be it regulatory or be it like you as a human, what is your perspective on this particular thing? And you know, when we weigh all of the things in balance, where do we pop out?
Yeah. I mean, another way of asking it is, why wouldn't you want your CEO to persuade at least one other smart person whose opinion they respect? Mm-hmm. Right? And that's always, for us, the starting point of, like, if Audrey disagrees with me, my assumption is she has a pretty good reason. Mm-hmm. And then we thrash it out.
Well, it sounds like both of you are coming from very much of a shared shared goal, and keeping that shared goal in mind of moving forward. I think it makes it so much easier to make conflict not about the actual issue, but make it about the end goal. And that helps you, that like calms things down, helps de-escalate the situation, and helps you really move forward.
We're also not massive escalators, I would say.
What do you think that the rest of the tech startup industry can learn specifically from tech that is geared toward women or non-men?
I think, let's say in a normal company, you're always optimizing for one thing.
Right.
And I think when it comes to taking an industry that is, it's about bringing out a conversation about something that's traditionally tabooed, or it's about changing the way we think about things, or changing the way we see things, or it's about, you know, focusing on someone's individual experience, I feel like we got to get comfortable for optimizing for multiple things. And that can be hard. Mm-hmm. You know, like you might want to feel like, oh, that's trading off focus or something like that. But we've got to go, hey, can we actually have both? Can we both have something that is hugely impactful and good for health and makes health accessible to more people? And can we also have a business model as an example for it? And so I think it's constantly about making that trade-off a little bit more complex and mm-hmm. and moving, being with that complexity.
And I mean, our hypothesis is that, I think there was a conversation before on this stage about healthcare systems being broken. I'm not sure how generalizable that statement is, but I'm also not sure that healthcare systems have worked very well for women ever. Mm-hmm. And we know that so many women are using various apps to track aspects of their health and experience. It's not just about negative health, it's issues. It's also about positive experiences and changes. And, you know, our bet is that we can produce something that is so valuable that people are prepared to pay something for it. And that by being very upfront about that business model, you know, we're not serving a different master, we are serving the user. Mm-hmm. And that by doing that consistently and very well and to a high quality standard, we will be able to survive and thrive and take over the world.
In our last few, as we wrap up here, I like to ask everyone I speak with what their dream data set would be. So I'm wondering if you had any data set, if it exists or if it doesn't, what would it be and how would you use it?
I mean, honestly, we have an amazing data set. We have an amazing data set. We have billions of data points. And we use it in a de-identified way with research partners around the world to look into areas of female health that are under-researched. And so, you know, for us, this is actually a very concrete question. Mm-hmm. And it's everything from figuring out whether your cycle patterns can predict diseases that don't show up in other ways or show up too late, to, I mean, the world, it's endless. I mean, our website is full of this stuff, and I don't even know which ones to pick out. Yeah. Do you have a favorite?
I don't necessarily have a favorite. I just look at our data set as like it's one of very a very rare longitudinal data set. Like our users track their cycle for years. Mm-hmm. And that's how you truly get self-insights so that you can self-manage, so that you can self-advocate for your health. And so taking that longitudinal data set that probably traditionally was either viewed as like averages, like, okay, we're going to take a population yes. that we can just average, and what insights, what solutions can we build out of that? And also like combining it with like making people feel like they're not alone. Like, oh, I'm not the only one experiencing this thing. So yeah, a data set that allows us to not just look at averages and not make people feel alone, like to deliver insights in that middle area.
I love those two areas of focus on the spectrum, and I think self-advocacy is so important in our healthcare system. Carrie, Audrey, I want to thank you both for sitting down with me today, and I want to thank all of you for coming out and listening to us. I'm Catherine Foley.
Thanks for listening. Be sure to check out next week's episode of the Next Stage podcast with Swedish pop star and Roblox celebrity Zara Larsson. And don't forget to rate us on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. So until next week, see you then.